Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, man. I hope you guys are all enjoying your holidays, and I hope you're all enjoying our little best ofs. I know I am, getting to relive some of our best guests, like Jeff Goldblum, who's coming up post-haste. First, I'll tell you about TradeStation. You want that extra edge? You want to find your next great trade? How about we go to TradeStation? Easy-to-use tools for traders of all skill levels. Simple pricing. So here's how it breaks down. Stocks, $5 a trade. Options, 50 cents per contract, plus $5 per trade. Futures, $1.50 per contract per side. That's it. The market's heating up. You don't want to be left behind. Get on there, man. See if you can make a little do-re-me. No software fees, free real-time market data, free premium tools, all at TradeStation. You take a fresh look at TradeStation at TradeStation.com/Carolla. Carolla. Thank you very much. Trade smart, trade confident. TradeStation. That's TradeStation.com/Carolla. TradeStation. All right. Let's get going with one of my favorite guests and all-around nice guy, Jeff Goldblum.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jeff Goldblum, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit with Vinny Tortorich. And now, as a kid, he was on the no sugar, no grain plan, too, just because his family was too cheap to buy sugar or grain. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for what you do. We rely on you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Ayuda.
Help. Vinny Tortorich is Hello. Here. Jeff Goldblum is coming in. I was
glorious.
Very exciting.
You know, I was thinking about Vinny because I got up on my yoga ball finally, and I got comfortable, enough to get in multiple chucks with the medicine ball, and leaving the yoga ball on my own terms, and what I want everyone to, what I was thinking about with everybody, and it's a part of my sort of life quest. I had it with Sonny. As well, Sonny showed up. So what happened was, is last Saturday we were going to watch the prize fight over at the shop, and I grabbed Sonny, and we showed up a couple hours early to like clean up and set up and do some other stuff. And I tried to get on the big yoga ball,
right,
and stand on it, and I was having a difficult time. Minute 5 and minute 10 of just getting up on it. But I just kind of hung with it. And then Sonny would come in and try to get on the smaller yoga ball. And he was having a tough go at it. But we both just sort of, I'd do it for a while, sweat through my shirt. Then Sonny would slide in and he'd try on his yoga ball for a while. And then he'd do it for 10 minutes. And I'd get back to mine. But at some point, about an hour and a half in, we're both just standing on the yoga balls, not simultaneously, but we took turns. But I came in and he was standing on his and I was standing on mine, and we were throwing the medicine ball, and it felt right. It went from, oh my God, I don't know about this, to I'm standing on top of this ball and this guy's throwing a medicine ball at me, and it feels good. It feels right. And I thought, that's as fast. We can go that fast. Like, your brain can go from this thing of like, oh, what's going on here? I don't even know what this is. I was on it on my knees going, good luck standing on it, to standing on it and feeling very secure on it in about 80 minutes. And I saw Sonny do the same.
And Sonny.
The same thing. And he's, you know, he's not a blessed athlete. I think he probably has a little the balance gene.
How many times did he warn you that this was not safe?
I don't know what it he's a really weird kid to figure out, because he's really bad and really lazy at many things, and then can name every starter in the NBA. So when he's interested in something, he's interested. And when he doesn't want to ride a bike, he doesn't want to ride a unicycle, he doesn't want to learn this, he doesn't want to learn that. But somehow, if you just leave the yoga ball and he comes to it, he was fairly... When I learned to ride a unicycle, it's because I found a unicycle. I found... we're looking at Sunny now standing on...
Little Cirque du Soleil.
The little mini yoga ball over there. When I was 10, I found a unicycle in the room of the woman, of the son of the woman my dad was dating. So, right. You know, how my family worked out. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com and see him, or that's Facebook awesome. Or something, whatever.
On your Instagram.
Instagram. He started screaming for me. Of course, he adds 30 seconds when I told him he was up there for a minute or whatever. He's like, I was on it for 30 before you guys came into the room. But when I was... I went into the room and I saw a unicycle just leaning against the wall, right. And I grabbed it and I ran out in the street and I propped myself up against a car fender, and I wouldn't leave until I could take, you know, three pedals of it or whatever it is. And I saw that thing with him. Like, he literally fell off the yoga ball. He started with the big one and was just going ass over tea kettle. Because the thing about the yoga ball, it's not like the unicycle. The unicycle... People think you're going to fall. You never fall. Unless you're trying something, you'll never hit the ground.
Once you got it, you got it.
And when you don't, it slides out. Right. It just goes right out from under you. Like, your biggest, the biggest thing is just not to let the seat get all skinned up. Like, it's just a quick reach around, pardon the pun.
All right.
And it just, boom.
Now Sonny's listening.
And it just pops out. The yoga ball is not that. The yoga ball is you're fine, and then you're not fine, and it's a millisecond.
Yeah.
And that's why he was bouncing on his belly and flopping on his back, and you go quick. Like, once it goes, it goes. Mm-hmm. It's not other things, like even the unicycle, they have a little warning. They have like a little 1.5 Mississippi before the landing gear needs to come down.
But he got back up.
He got back up, and I was sort of saying to him, you know, give dad a little room here. I'm trying to get this yoga ball. I'm trying to figure out this yoga ball. And he's like, my turn. And he never does it. So something clicked in him. He had the thing and he just kept doing it. And then he was standing on it. And everybody should have a little version of that they do a couple times a week.
As an athlete, Adam, does he do the thing? I remember as a kid, even though I sucked at basketball, you know, I'm not leaving until I get 10 free throws in a row. You know, if I hit 9, I'll be here all night type of thing.
Yes.
And I think every athlete I played college ball with had 20 versions of that, meaning college football. All had our versions of that.
You have to have your version of that. You have to have the version of, I'm going to skip rope, and I'm going to do one foot, two times on the right foot, two times on the left, three times on the right, three times left. And if I don't get to 20, I'll start again. Yes. Everybody needs that.
But does Sonny have that in sports?
Yes, he does. Because when he goes and plays basketball, he's got to drain like a three-pointer before we leave. Mm-hmm. And if he clunks it off the backboard, we got to wait until... And I never go, come on, we're going.
You've
and
missed
I,
many I, dinners.
Yeah, you wait.
I know exactly... No, he's there now. Lynette's bringing him food. He's got a cot set up. We got him on an IV system. They put a porta potty in because they lock up the bathrooms at night.
Put a catheter in there. Yeah.
No, be true to yourself.
He's emaciated. He's like Howard Hughes. He's grown a full beard.
Jars lined up on the baseline
everywhere. Hair down to his shoulders. No, he has to make a nice shot and go out on a high note. Speaking of that, I got a lot of info from Vinny Tortorich, and we all have, and all the stuff we just, I literally was lamenting. I was making both my kids, I made Natalia sausage this morning, so Lynette's out of town. I made Sonny a scrambled egg, and then I made Natalia, it figures those two couldn't take their goddamn eggs the same way.
Just one pan of eggs.
She just wants a raw egg, right?
She does not want scrambled. She wants it basically raw, yeah. And he wants it only scrambled.
Well done.
So it's a pain in the ass. Jesus. But, of course, I was making him the scrambled egg, and then I made her the sausage, and then I just basically took the fat from the sausage, and I just cracked the egg on top of it. And
beautiful.
I thought, oh, Vinny'd be happy to hear this. And then I thought, my entire life, I would have wanted to do that, but went, I got to think about, and I would have wiped it down, sure, and cleaned it off, and sprayed it with some
animal
Pam
fat,
or something. Yeah. I don't mind the part. See, in life, I don't mind the part where the ceiling fan is running all day, as long as you're sitting under it. Mm-hmm. But when you're out of town and the ceiling fan's running all day, it pisses me off, and that's what that is. That's like you're literally just hurting yourself for no reason. Mm-hmm. You're paying that utility bill, and you're not enjoying the breeze that comes off it. And my whole life, it was always, I'd like some butter on this toast, but...
Best not.
Mm-hmm. Best not. So thank God for Tortorich. Now, here's a question that popped in my head that I need to ask Vinny Tortorich. I got roped into playing... an old man's basketball league. And these are all the dads of all the sons that are in the kids' basketball league.
A lot of set shots.
And so it's not the Jewish guys who think they can jump in Hollywood? Have you ever played in one of those?
The Jumpin' Jews?
The Jumpin' Jews?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that Gold? Jeff, who's coming in?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, Goldblum. Yeah. That's his band.
Oh, yeah,
he's got a jazz
Jews,
band.
Yeah.
Jumpin' Jazzy Jews. No, these guys are actually, they're pretty good. They're all younger than me. Boy, did it take the wind out of my sail when I realized I was the oldest one of the old guy group.
Were you at least the tallest?
No. They're all good size, and they're all pretty good. And my thing was, I have not played a pickup basketball game in a decade, but I used to be pretty good, and I wasn't going to embarrass myself in front of these guys. So I was going to go at it and try to hit those jumpers and do the moves and do the whole 9 yards. And I went. But unfortunately, timing-wise, the father's Kimmel softball game was before it. Ooh. So there was about 4 hours of softball.
When you wore your ballet shoes.
Yes, and I have not played softball in a million years. And
using lots of muscles.
I wasn't going to embarrass myself with that. And then it was basketball all night. And the next day, I was sore.
Of course.
But the day after that, I thought I had full-blown AIDS. Like, that's how I was moving.
Yeah.
Like, I was just riddled with AIDS. And even by Wednesday, I was still getting in and out of the car like someone was dropping me off at a hospital. So,
pull together, man.
Now, other than stretching... Because that's always out of the question.
I was about to say, did you stretch before?
Never. Never stretch.
But it's always that second day.
It's second day, and if you've really done it wrong, the third is pretty bad, too. What do we do? Potassium? What can we do?
There's three things. Two are natural, one is not.
All right.
Pickles and pickle juice. I'm not kidding. It's something about the acid and how it reacts with your muscles. Nobody in science knows why it works. Ultra runners have been doing it for years.
Dill pickle.
Delicious.
Right, not a bread and butter type.
You drink the juice. We call it natural Gatorade.
Really?
It actually works. Pickle juice.
Before or after or during?
When you know it's going to happen, after and the next day and the day after, just keep the pickles going.
All right. Wow.
That's one.
That's good.
The other, magnesium.
Mm.
Morning and night. I would tell you to take it three times a day, but you give yourself the craps.
Right.
So be careful with the magnesium.
So magnesium.
Twice a day. Those are the two natural ones.
Right.
Ibuprofen. Nothing is going to work like ibuprofen. And Dr. Drew can get you some 600
Advil.
Migs.
Oh,
what is like what's Advil?
Advil, yeah.
But
Advil is.
But the high potency stuff.
Advil is ibuprofen.
Yeah, but so, tell Drew to get the
One pill, yeah, because it won't upset your stomach the way Advil could if you take three or four Advil. And they used to make prescription strength at 800, and they figured out that 600 works as well as 800, and it won't screw up your liver as much.
What is – and is it a – and pickle juice is sort of before, during, and after.
Yeah.
And – is the Advil before, during, and after?
Calls timeout.
No.
Wins the game. They dump pickle juice on him.
As a matter of fact, taking ibuprofen prophylactically, say that three times really fast,
yeah,
won't help. As a matter of fact, it thins your blood. It releases the platelets in your blood. That's what makes it work.
Right.
So you would be a lesser athlete by taking it before. So it won't even help you not be sore. And on top of that, you won't have the amount of stamina
so
you
that
have
so that's afterward and yeah. Then
I'm sorry, did you say prophylactically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
To prevent.
Okay.
To prevent.
I just thought you meant put it in your condom.
That
yeah,
we got to do something with prophylactic and juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
I hear juvenile super negative connotation.
Just means young.
Just means kid and this just means prepared
or
before or whatever. All of us knew actually.
Oh, okay.
and by the way, one.
Sorry.
Brian, did you know?
I
prophylactically.
Oh, I think I did. I thought about juvenile. Yeah, I figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make
sure.
sense. To your generation, that didn't make
knew.
Sense.
Mm-mm.
No, prophylactic. Look, this.
Take
Matt Rondelier doesn't know what cleanser is.
Well, you know,
I had a great Who's On First conversation. I need cleanser. For what?
We mean
cleanser.
Like
what are we cleansing? Yeah, it's like.
You want Neutrogena?
Cleanser. It's a cleanser. What are we cleansing? Like he thought I was going to say facial cleanser.
It's
powder. Yeah. Bonami or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Ajax Bonami.
All right.
So anyway, take the Advil at first pain. So the next day, don't go, well, I'm going to muscle it out for a day because it's just going to get worse. Stop
right.
it in its tracks. And
all right.
You won't have to take as much.
And what was the nutrient we were taking? I'm sorry.
Magnesium.
Magnesium. That's one of the products I make at Pure Vitamin Club.
Ooh.
I'll send them over.
Yeah, I could use it because I don't stretch and I can't take it easy once everyone's going.
It's an on-off switch.
Yeah, I mean, all the greats. No, I just mean it's like I'm going to go for it when I'm playing because just out of pure ego. Like if I'm playing softball and the ball's in the air and I'm playing center field, I'm going after the ball.
Sure.
That's just how I'm wired. Most people are wired that way. All right. Gary, you got me on that yoga ball?
Yeah, if you give me just a moment here.
All right. Let's see. Adam's opinion on gender reveal parties for babies?
Yes.
You know about this. The couple has the party, the gender reveal party, and they cut open a cake, and the cake, unbeknownst to them, is pink or blue.
But
they release
a bunch
of balloons.
Oh, yeah. I don't...
You never heard about this?
No. Well, first off, if I'm, you know, gender reveal party to me just means, like, 19-year-old comes over for Thanksgiving and unloads on stepdad. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on anymore. I mean, because we have these stories where it's like in Portland, they have a third gender you can check on your driver's license.
Non-binary.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Vinny. You're going to hang out with me and the cleanser and the juveniles, and we'll talk about a time when there was not a third gender that you identify as.
We got the third gender. We got, you know, Bruce.
No, this is not that, right?
This is like the kind of
state. You are putting X where you could put M for male or F for female. You're choosing not to identify as either. You just put X on your driver's license.
Here's a crazy thing. Last night, Serena and I walk into a restaurant, and we run into friends of ours. And the guy is there with his wife, and he's got what looks like chick shoes on. Doesn't have a back on it, nothing, right? And we're looking at this the whole time. And I said to Serena, I said, you see, this is what happened. Bruce became Caitlin, and that just opened it up. Now, this guy,
opened up the back of the shoe.
Yeah, he's trying it on for
the
size. He's
starting
with the shoes.
Uh-huh.
Next, we're going to have, you know, maybe the lady pants or something before you know the dress. Hey, I think he's trying it on for size. And she goes, well, you think he's gay? I said, no, but I think he's, what is that, a Q or
an X. Non-binary, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, stick to vitamins.
They have been, hey, first.
It's got to go somewhere.
First, they take our penny loafers. That's
and
where
we said
begins.
Nothing.
Yeah, and we said nothing. No, I've been living this my entire life, which is that it started as, it's a movement, by the way. And the movement is this. It's pushed by the left. And as Dennis Prager says, not by liberals, but like the left. Because I live this. They want to erase the differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why this is why it's a cause. I suspect it because most of them are failing as women and men. Like my mom was a horrible woman. I mean, she failed as a woman. My dad failed as a man.
She even failed as a woman?
Well, I mean, technically she had her parts.
Well, she failed as a mother, but
well,
a woman?
Well, I think the things that traditionally you think of, like, you know, making lasagna,
yeah, cooking
keep
a
it,
meal,
keep
nurturing, showing
working,
affection,
yeah, yeah,
buying keep a it, new pair of shoes.
Keep it, look, you know, back then it was like, hey, I keep a really nice house. I'm proud of my house. You know, I'm proud of my garden. You know, I'm proud of I take care of my family. Or you go work and whatever it is, just go ahead and put an F next to it. There was a movement and a strong movement. It's a combination. Part of it is F you to the man. It's really just the man. It's just like, screw you. You don't know me. You don't know me. You can't tell me what my gender is. I'll tell you what my gender is. So a lot of it is just angry. Everyone's angry. It's just backlashing. I don't think if you took all the people in Portland that chose to do the X and just sort of pull them aside and threw a party with these people and walk through them and had conversations with them about whatever you might talk about, I think the consensus would be that they're all angry assholes. I think that would be, I think that's what you would walk away with, them being super angry. Angry mostly at their dads, but just angry. And so this is a way for them to sort of show you to push. And it's easy. I've been dealing with it on Loveline for a million years, which is daddy was horrible to you and now everyone becomes daddy. Mm. And then when you talk to them, you can hear in their voice they're already pissed.
Yeah.
And they don't even know you. So it's a way of going through life. Anyway, this crap was shoveled on me when I was 9. It was all just, it was the same thing. Oh, you give little Sally a pop gun, she'll play with that. She'll put the dolly down, but you give the dolly to little Bobby. No, 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 no. But it's an effort, and we've not stopped. It took a rest. You know, somebody discovered cocaine, and it took a couple of years off. You know, and we all just went down to Studio 54 and got high. But then it started coming back. It was around in the 70s. It took a lot of time off. It wasn't like we were talking about it much in the 90s or the 80s, especially. The 80s was just cocaine and Spuds McKenzie and Tease That Hair Girl. And it's coming back.
You know,
it's coming back in a strong way. By the way, it'll never work. Mm-hmm. The reason it'll never work, look no further than Sonny and Natalia. Totally different with zero input from anybody at any time.
The version that I observe now with a 9-month-old is like when I drop Tess off at daycare, like every toy is for everyone. There's not boys' toys and girls' toys. Like every toy is just for – and I see it with the other kids, the older kids, they're in other rooms and stuff. I see they're always playing with the same stuff. It's the more advanced, evolved version of that.
Yeah. It's called Evolve, but it's really not. My son wants to do – things with basketballs and his boy and his friends do something completely different than my daughter and my daughter's friends. And there's a very small group of people that from each party that go to the other side. They're just girls that want to climb trees and boys that want to, you know, it's not so much like dollies, but they're interested in decorating or FaceTime or the girls are very into the communication stuff. And the guys are very much into let's go out and play the sports stuff. Yeah, there's a group of that. It's small. we're trying to foist this on the whole society, and right. It'll never take. It'll never work. It's just like, it's like socialism. It'll never work. It'll never effectively work. We'll try and try and try and try. It never works. It can't work. We're different. That's it. That's who we are. It's a biological thing.
I need to ask you about a toy. Tell me if you, if your kid, or if you showed your kid, do you guys remember the, I think Wilsco and also Jensen made these toys. There were actual steam engines.
Yes.
And you would light a fire underneath.
Yes.
And you, it would heat up a little boiler.
One of the many things I did not own.
It would run a piston. Yes. We didn't either, but my dad brought one from the science department. He was a school teacher, and he would bring it home and let my brother and I play with it.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I think they still exist. So what's, if you brought
that, those are mini cannons.
Oh, they have those too.
They have a little mini, little iron, little mini, little like World War II cannon.
Do they fire things?
You can put firecrackers in them. You can do all kinds of stuff.
I don't know that in today's litigious society, these go over very well.
But would Sonny be interested? Like, if you came home with a Jensco or a Wilsco, I think it was Jensen and Wilsco.
Yeah.
If you came and said, Sonny, this is how electricity is created.
Yeah.
You know, a fire goes under this, and this happens, and then it turns this turbine. Would he be interested, or would your daughter be interested in how things actually work?
Wait, is Adam delivering the message?
My yeah. daughter.
Because no, is he?
Let's say Olga brings it in. Someone brings it in that they respect.
There's a couple of trends that you guys need to be aware of. He will be interested or not interested. I will not be able to influence him, and he's generally inquisitive, so he might think it's pretty cool, but you probably wouldn't find him messing around with it once you left. There is this new thing that's driving me insane. Insane, 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 but it's big. You'll learn certain things, like those widget spinner things. They're all over the place.
Yeah,
you don't realize that they catch fire, these things. You want to know what all the girls are doing?
What?
They're making slime.
Yes.
I heard about this.
They're nuts.
It's all over Facebook.
They're nuts for slime, and it's driving me nuts.
Now you make this stuff?
Like cornstarch, food coloring, water.
Help me
water.
Out. What are we doing with
it? Like putty slime just to play
with. You just see who can make the best batch. I don't know. It makes no sense at all, but it drives me insane. And here's why it drives me insane. In order to make it, and Gary, you can probably find the different versions of this, but I'm in my kitchen today, there's a 1 gallon container of Elmer's white glue that has about a quarter inch left at the bottom of it. There are whole big containers of liquid Tide, the stuff, you know, in the bad neighborhoods that gets ripped off, stuff. And then whatever else, the cornstarch or whatever else is in there. It's the biggest waste of material ever. I mean, we got to show this to third world countries. Like, you guys, you're going down to the river and washing your crap in polluted water. Here's what we got. Oh, no, we don't even use Tide for washing clothes anymore. We're just making gelatinous goop out of it, and then we throw
it
away.
Playing with it and getting rid of it.
Eventually gets, like, some hair in it, and we throw it away.
It gets gross.
Using up full jugs of everything. Just dumping it.
That's expensive stuff.
It's totally expensive, and I have no qualms with the money. I would much rather take that money, buy a whole chicken from Zancun, give it to a homeless guy. It's just literally taking all these raw materials, and as a guy who builds and is constantly saying, like, hey, demoed out those 2x4s, pull the nails, so let's use them on the next wall or whatever, trying to reuse and repurpose everything. It's the biggest waste ever. It is swept. I don't know if it swept the nation. It certainly swept my girl's school, and they all go nuts, and the girls are all nuts for it, and the guys don't give a crap at all, which I'm happy about, but I don't know why they're so nuts about
it. What are they throwing it at each other?
Gina. You just break it apart and put it back together. I'm sorry, Brian, do you remember
green
this?
Green slime.
Yes, but remember the plastic watercolor kits you would take to like art class, and you would fill it with Elmer's glue on one side of it and put food coloring in and make bookmarks?
Oh, Jesus.
You were an indoor kid.
No, I know. No. I should have known about that.
Well, we know what juvenile means.
I'm going home and doing that right now.
Well, yeah.
Is the silver lining that like they're actually making something with their hands? And
the silver lining is they're not planted in front of the TV set eating a bunch of stuff that Vinny said they shouldn't eat.
Yeah, because in my day, we had green slime, and that came like in a little egg, and like you play with it and threw it against the wall, but it was just this probably radioactive goop. Probably where I got my brain tumor.
I'm assuming it was a byproduct
of something that they were building.
Yeah, like they're making like snail fertilizer, and this is what the byproduct was. And sure. Somebody said we should. I remember it well because I never had it either. Because when I was, I had certain instincts even when I was like 13 or 9 or whatever, which is like. I got no interest in a thing that gathers pubes, and I can't ride or wrestle with. Like, I want a football. I want to go do something, right. But I don't want a pube-gathering device. It's
He's
all
going
weird.
To a silly potty at this but point.
It came in a trash can. It came in a green trash can.
Oh, yeah.
The early versions. And the reason I know that
like garbage pail
is because
stuff.
Ray's mom had a bunch of those as drinking cups back when you would just use anything as a drinking cup. Oh, this is the
oh,
slime.
That's gross.
Yeah, is this? Oh, this must be Natalia making her slime.
Pasta. That looks so satisfying.
I think it's Sunny, but
oh, it's Sunny. I just did 20 minutes on you not playing. No, that's got to be Natalia. Sunny doesn't know how to do any of that crap, or maybe not. No, it's Natalia. Who cares? Anyway, is a whole when I saw the carpenter's glue, a whole gallon of carpenter's glue just gone. I don't think, I paid for that. I think that's now wasted.
It's gone.
And we're so ugly as Americans. Yeah. I mean, think about any other country just taking all these materials and just burning them.
I always say that, when people talk about terrorists, they go, okay, when they recruit these kids from these poor countries, the first thing they tell them is, America is so rich.
It was Natalia. Thanks, Gary.
These people are so rich in America that they have a place called a gym. Now, here's what goes on. They go in there, and they move heavy things around. They play at work.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus Christ, how much do they get paid? No. They don't get paid.
They pay
to go move all this way.
I always say, look no further than Griffith Park, because on one corner, there's literally a fountain that just shoots water into the air until it all evaporates, and then people empty their pockets and throw money at it. Like, what are those people doing? They have too much money. They're angry at the water. Well, what is that? Some sort of sewage runoff? No, it's totally drinkable. It's
just water. More of it so they can take it to their home?
We fire it. Our goal is to fire it so high that it all evaporates and never comes back down again. And then I notice on the other corner, they're beasts of burden, hard at work, a logging camp. No, they're going in a circle. We put fat kids on them.
Yeah.
And they... But you have to feed them?
Oh,
you have to
pets.
Take care of them? Yeah, absolutely.
What's your point?
So the kids, they go in a circle.
And there's a train. Where does he go?
Oh, they drag the train? Oh, the donkeys drag the train? There's a mining camp, right? No. The train goes in a circle.
And again, they get paid to do this?
No. All we have to do is go down to Griffith Park. We'll show them the fountain. We'll show them the train. We'll show them the donkeys going in a circle. And we'll go, any questions?
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about infrastructure and many other things, but I think you get it by
this.
This recruits itself.
Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Thinking about your home security? You should be. Put that under the resolution, man. And that's not just for you. That's for your family. Get a break on your renter's insurance. Simply Safe. Invented by a guy who went to Harvard? Well, he was a genius. Friends got ripped off and he wanted to come up with his own. He realized that the security companies were a bigger ripoff than the guys who did the ripping off because they rip you off every month. So I work with these guys and we worked out a little security arsenal just for you. It's a special package handpicked by me. Entry, motion, glass break sensors, everything you need. And right now, my friends over at Simply Safe are giving my listeners $200 off of this package. No contracts, no commitments. Go right now, get the $200 off my handpicked security package at simplysafe.com/Adam. Let's not go into the new year without this. Peel and stick up and running in under an hour. We all have it over here. You get it over there. Simplysafe.com/Adam. Get the $200 off and get started on the new year right. All right. I think I got 25 seconds of me on my yoga ball. I told... I told... I don't think this is the right one. Oh, this is an old one. That's not the new one.
Was your intention to match your yoga ball?
I wore a shirt that matched. That's me throwing it at Matt Fondelier. Assistant Matt knocking him off, knocking his phone
I love that
off
you have couch cushions all around.
Just in case.
I'm a guy who if you got me a picnic table right now and gave me a beer and told me to ride a unicycle off it, I'd go for it. But I have been burned by the yoga ball.
Yeah.
I know firsthand about that yoga ball, man. You eat it so fast on that yoga ball, yeah. And I've done it. And I was fine, but I realized if there's anything around me that wasn't cushioned or something, I did it on just a wooden floor with like the half-inch sort of foam flooring pad tiles that interlock, and I somehow landed like a martial arts and rolled over or something. But I thought to myself, if there was like a dumbbell laying on the ground or something, I'd be in a coma right now. So
you're obsessed with balance,
I
right?
I have a ton of respect for the yoga ball.
Well, and his infant children were once collateral damage.
That's right. They ate it too.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, yeah. I'll tell you this, Vinny. I was thinking about you, and I was wondering how to do this. But if you, I think Nickel will back me up here. He was there. That ball, when you climb on top of it, right. And everybody should work out a thing. I think we should work out a thing where you get a pad, you know, like a gymnasium, you know, sort of like a gymnastics pad or something. You know, something 4 inches worth of pad. And you cut a donut hole in the middle of it that's maybe 4 foot by 4 foot. Right. Maybe 42 by 42 or something like that. And you put that yoga ball in the middle and you just get on that thing and you get your knees up and you start hanging on it with your hands and you pry 1 foot up. And now you got one knee down and 1 foot up and you're just sitting there engaging every part of your body. Like
every muscle.
Your toes are working, your forehead's working, like everything is just working. Cause I found myself. Nick was just standing there. I was just standing there. I sweated right through my shirt. I wasn't even moving. I was just, my nails were digging into the thing. Then when you get up, you start pinching your legs together. Oh, God. I did that Saturday night, then the softball game, then the basketball game. Then no wonder I was comatose.
Get some magnesium.
You dig in. And I thought, well, not everyone's going to stand up on a yoga ball. Not everyone's going to do this. If you just try for 15 minutes a day, you'll be in great shape. You just literally just get on it. It's zero impact. It's not like, oh, man, I got to do 50 push-ups or something like that. It's just literally you just trying to mount that thing for 15 minutes at a time. Totally low impact. But, man, what an engager of the core. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I went right through. Sweated right on through my shirt, man. All right, I got a couple of questions up there. Adam's opinion. Oh, yeah. Oh, the gender reveal parties. Oh, yeah. No. Did not know about these parties. I find, I don't know. You guys tell me. I find it a little narcissistic. Like, I when people do the, you know, you go, oh, you're pregnant, you know, and they go, you having a kid? What do you got there, boy or girl? And they go,
not so fast.
And you're like, I don't care.
But they don't want to give
like,
it up?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, like, I'm going to surprise. I feel like we make way. There's two versions. There's I don't want to give it up. And then there's another one, which is I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to know. What's the difference?
Right.
And
it's so much more practical to know.
It makes no sense.
Again, back to the first world. And also, It smacks me of a kind of a narcissism. Like, look, people just crap out kids all day, every day, everywhere. There's nothing special to you, but not to us. And this is fine. And by the way, it's not giving anything away. And I'm not going to go running to the Herald Examiner. Guess what? or selling it to TMZ. Like, it's who cares? Yeah. So the party seems like an extended version of that, yes?
Because you're putting it on other people. You're like, please come. Now you're obligated.
And care as much as I do. When I saw that question up there, I wrote down two things. Manufactured fun, which I don't like, and narcissistic.
Exactly right. And how are we to react? So when it's a boy, we cheer. If it's a girl, we cheer, but not as hard. Or like, what? How's this work again?
I will say the ancillary benefit of these is on YouTube. If you look up a lot of like gender reveals and like a lot of lesser, I'll say lesser evolved in my opinion, dads will get very upset if the pink balloons come out. Like, oh no, that is a girl.
You don't want that recorded.
They say the Chinese aren't funny. But I don't know. It's a lot of joy brought via YouTube.
He starts to build a raft, send her down the river.
All right. Oh, sorry. Katie?
Gary could probably find a couple of those.
Yes.
What's going on? Yeah.
Ace man, get it on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I'm just calling. My cousin wants me to do her gender reveal party and wanted me to get a golf ball for her husband to hit that will explode with whatever color powder the baby is.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you're intercepted by the DEA on the way there. What is this mystery drug you've been muling over to
gums.
The driving range? No wonder those guys are hitting so many buckets. They're all beaked up. Ingenious. 22 years in the business. I've never seen this.
You gonna play 72 holes today?
I've seen a taxidermy squirrel stuffed. I've seen condoms put up the rectum, but I've never seen the golf ball. We got a kingpin here taking you down.
Take us to the source.
Hey, have right. any of you guys been to one of these?
Brian, with the Rico
you,
act?
You have a kid.
You're going
what
straight
you
to Guantanamo
do?
Bay.
I have been to one, and luckily it was my rich friend, and so it was actually out of town, and like a bunch of people went there. And like it was a very elaborate thing.
All for the gender reveal?
We made a weekend out of it. It was in Vegas, so it's
a
actually
weekend.
Kind of, but it was actually kind of fun as a vacation. Christy and I did the. I would like to think the non-narcissistic version, which is just for us. We took. They found out the gender in one of the ultrasounds early on. They said, "Would you like to know?" We said, "Please put it into an envelope, seal it. Don't tell us." We took it to a frozen yogurt place on the West Side, and we took it to the cashier and said, "We want." You look at this. We don't know what it is. If it's a girl, get some strawberries, put
really?
It at the bottom. If it's a boy, get some blueberries, put it at the bottom. We'll go wait over here, and
oh
when you're ready.
God.
It was our little thing. We didn't bother anyone else with it. It was our little thing.
You didn't
thing.
Bother anyone else.
You're
the poor guy
us.
For $14.
Dawson. Dawson, you're bothered, right?
100%.
No, you're not.
Well, you better load it up that tip
we
jar.
We have some people that are bothered here.
Brian, you had to think about that ahead of time. Right, we're going to go to a yoga shop. We're going to tell them to put strawberries at the bottom.
Yeah, we did.
We're jealous. No one
and
else
And we gave the guy $5.
Kind of
yeah, it was middle of the day on a Thursday or something.
Was right. it Pinkberry or was
nah,
it?
No, it was the Big Chill at Olympic.
You can't go to Pinkberry,
exactly
man. That's leaning toward
yeah,
the ladies through title alone.
It was
alone.
Fun. It was just for us. We didn't force anyone else to join us.
When you saw strawberries, did you just chuck it against the wall?
I ran out and then came back and said, sorry, that wasn't me.
Katie?
Yes.
I would be a conscientious objector to this. I really would.
I can just go, see
because
that.
Of my logical religion, which is logic. I cannot participate in this nonsense.
Understandable. Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out to Vinny. My dad lost 20 pounds last summer by doing no sugar, no grain. So
that is so cool.
Well, thanks.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we hear your stories all over the internet, and it's perfect. And like I said, you know, no strain to eat a couple sausages with a few eggs cooked in the fat, man. That does not feel like a diet. Matt, 31, Bay Area. Matt?
Hey, Adam, Gina, Brian, Vinny, get it on. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
I regret telling that story.
I've drilled down on this.
All right, let's hear
I'll
it.
Tell you what it is.
Sure.
And it'll... Ultimately, it'll be good.
I think it'll be.
Stay with
if you can withstand the initial.
Yeah. No, I've realized that almost all hatred is a strong word, but when people hear about someone's life or activities,
right,
disdain possibly, and they react to it,
mm-hmm.
at micro and macro. I've been really watching this. It's all envy.
Oh.
It's shame and envy. Envy and shame. It's all, that's what you see. That's what we do. That's what the entire, hey, it's Rich Whitey over there making mm-hmm. That's just shame, mm-hmm. shame and envy. That's all this. Like, we can't stand any, we used to not be based that way. Now we are. We've decided somehow that person's doing something right mm-hmm. and I'm not doing something right. And in the past, you'd go find a mirror and try to figure out what was wrong with you. Now we just have to figure out a way to tear that guy down.
Okay.
We hate big. It's like anything big. You put big in front of any corporation you
big
want.
Chill.
We hate it. We hate anything big, yeah. anything, any. Anyone's, I don't know, Justin Bieber. Like, I hate him. He's just too successful. You know what I mean? Like, we just hate
big
it.
Big Canada.
When people hear those stories.
Mm-hmm. Their first reaction is just disgust.
First reaction
is laughter.
No, it is, why is this person enjoying their life more than me?
Mm-hmm.
And then that quickly turns to hatred.
Okay.
You see?
I feel a lot
But
better.
It starts with a little bit of an inner, like, okay. Oh, I would never do. Lynette would never do that. We would never. We'd never take the time to do
whatever. It makes you feel lazy. Our generation would never go that length.
It's not, but it's not quite.
To even think about
it's,
that.
It's envy more than mm-hmm. lazy. It's like, I just wouldn't. It's sort of the what I have. It's like when my lawyer told me he was taking a cruise with his mom, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?
Why is
get
mom?
The hell out of here with your mom?" And then I made fun of him to everybody and to do anything. But at the end of the day, I realized I was envious.
Just you and your.
I wish I had a relationship with my mom where I could take a cruise with her. I was angry, but the anger was envy.
Okay.
That's what happened.
By the way, Brian, we've mentioned Big Chill two or three times, and who's coming in here in a few minutes?
Jeff Goldblum, who is starring in The Big Chill.
Yeah. One of his first big movies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. All right. Sorry. Chris Max Pata's on the blower. Yeah. Hey, Max Pata.
Hey, Adam.
Where are you, man?
We are just crawling on the 5 up to Fresno right now. In the van, and we're all piled in here. Got the band, got Assistant Jay, and Ryan Dune and Matt Edgar as well. They'll be doing a stand-up comedy portion of the shows.
You guys are heading towards Seattle, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're doing a quick stop in Fresno, but yeah, we're heading up to Seattle. We got a show there tomorrow night at the Showbox Soto Lounge, and the tickets are still available. So I'm inviting all listeners. If you can make it, for a night of comedy and music.
So the bar crawl is sold out, but the end of the bar crawl, they're going to end up at the theater, and that's where you're playing, and that's where the stand-up's going, right?
Yeah. At the end of the night, everybody's all coming together at the bar crawl, and if you want to go to a ticket, get your tickets to the last show, the tickets are still available at CorollaDrinks.com.
So Lynette's going to be there, Ray's going to be there, Jay's going to be there, you're going to be there, everyone's going to be there.
Dodge the bullet and have the Ray in a van.
Yeah.
And, all the guys behind the glass.
And so it's $12 on the pre-sale and $15 on the door, so if you want to save a few bucks, and I predict it'll sell out, everyone's going to be there. So
it's a steal either way.
Go ahead and get those over at CorollaDrinks.com. So driving from where to Fresno?
We left from Westminster, California, because that's where my band's gear is.
Uh-huh.
And so we loaded up the van, and we're heading up to Sequoia Brewing Company right now.
I never minded
hours.
A road trip. I always loved a road trip.
As a young man.
I always thought
it
was fun.
You always choose to drive, though. Like, every time, you know, we want to go to Vegas, or you always like doing a long drive, I know.
Yeah, but, like, when we go up north and stuff for the race and everything like that, part of the fun is to ride out there. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of laughs. I get a couple beers. I tell Max Apata to get on the iPhone and pick out, and I yell obscure songs. from Room 222. Play it, bitch! And then he plays it, and it's good stuff, right?
I'm your Siri.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that is tomorrow night at the. Is it Sodo?
The Sodo Lounge.
Sodo. Okay. Yeah. The Sodo Showbox Lounge, and that's in Seattle. So if you're out that way, go to CorollaDrinks.com and get those things in advance. All right. See you soon, Max Pata. Have fun.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See you.
Take care. Yes.
You know, speaking of road trips, Tim and I love doing that, too. And so much so that when we are off for a week in August, we are taking a little road trip through Costa Rica.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Are you driving to Costa Rica?
We're driving to Costa Rica. No.
Oh, you could, but
no,
that's crazy.
Not. Once we get there, we're driving.
You. Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah, I'm sure.
No, we're driving through the country once we get there.
We said road trip to Costa Rica.
Through Costa Rica.
You guys are lucky I'm sitting here, because I understood that was a joke, and I know what juveniles are. And I have a cleanser and all that good and prophylactic. I feel like I'm just
damn genius.
perfect prophylactic for your comedy. Yeah, so how is it in terms of safety?
It's very safe.
We're in a weird world now where you could yell out 25 countries to me, and I really wouldn't know. Like, there's ones that what was safe and what was not. What was not a no-fly zone and what wasn't. And there's I feel like more than ever, there's just those.
Like, if you're saying Chile, oh, it's great. Bolivia, go to Bolivia. Like,
no, Costa Rica.
Yeah, or you could flip them, and then I would never know.
Right. Well, what a lot of people don't know about Costa Rica is a lot of Jews ended up there during the 1940s, during Hitler's regime.
Unkrauts. Yeah. Boys from Brazil. Oh, no, wait a minute.
They got to Costa Rica, yeah.
Anywhere there's a lot of Jews, you're
it's
fine.
Good. You're fine.
But if you break down, you're screwed.
Yeah.
What?
Good luck.
Who am my Mr. Goodwrench over here? I don't want a scissor jack. What? Already? Yeah, you're not. No one's going to come out with a wrench and a gas can nope. if you get to choose, but you're not going to get rolled either. So that's good. And you're going to rent a car?
Yes.
And
Tim is hell-bent on renting a stick shift. And I said, please don't. If we break down, I can't help you. Yeah. I don't know. But he probably will. Cause
good news for Tim in Costa Rica at the Avis. Mm. Yeah, we'd like to get we can't have an automatic. Excuse me? An automatic. What's that again? An automatic transmission. I don't know what that is.
First time hearing of it.
We have three on the tree, mm-hmm. and we got four on the floor. Those are our numbers.
We got some rickshaws.
You're telling me there's a car that you don't have to shift? When did this come out?
Only two pedals down there?
Yeah, who makes this?
It's like that in Europe. Every summer we go to England, and
we got a donkey.
Everything is stick shift because it burns less gas and the whole thing. And you have to, and the wheel's on the other side. So now you're doing a muscle memory that you've never used in your entire life because your feet are the same.
Right.
It's just the hand is different.
Oh, we got something called two on a Jew. We got a lot of Jews out here.
Present.
Gina, do you know that? So, you're going to drive around.
Yeah,
I like this. Oh, by the way, in the group, back to Brian's story with the as it pertains to gender of Tessa. Mm-hmm. The same thing when I see the guy, the 44-year-old guy's going surfing with his sons for 3 weeks in Costa Rica. And I go, what a douche, but I'm super jealous because I go, how do you figure out a life where he could carve this thing out? Right. And he's going to Costa Rica with his two teenage sons and they're going to surf for 2 weeks. Like, how did he maneuver this?
That makes sense.
I still am angry at him, but I'm jealous. Right. I'm
jealous. Anger is born of jealousy.
That's right. Okay. That's
how was your trip? You took a trip?
What I'm getting at. Huh?
You took a trip?
Oh, we went whitewater rafting. And
did Sonny go or did he not go?
No, Mommy and Sonny.
That didn't happen.
Passed.
Did not happen.
Didn't Natalia jump off the rock or whatever she was
going to
jump off?
Me and Natalia jumped off the bridge.
Oh, the bridge, yeah.
Is Jeff in
the He just walked in. He's going to the bathroom, and then I'm going to give him a rundown.
All right. So we'll spend 5 minutes here. All right. There's a new commercial, new Gillette On Demand commercial.
Matt?
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know if you'd... no problem. I didn't know if you'd seen it or not.
We got it right here, Matt. Let's go ahead and play it for the gang.
Perfect.
Brother Shaven.
Oh, that blade's not so fresh.
Not so fresh.
He throws it out. He's all out of blades.
He's out of blades. Got to call Gillette
covered in shaving cream. Hands are covered in...
I feel like saliva.
Introducing
maybe he's
the easiest
off.
Way to get Gillette blades. Text blades to Gillette On Demand.
So he's
text
using a smartphone.
Text with Gillette On Demand and get $3 off your first order.
It's a little bit of a mislead, but all right. I don't the thing that drives me. I know everything's just going to start showing up at your door, and I'm fine with that. It's a good thing. Vinny may want to hold his ears. It's when the Taco Bell starts showing up at the house. Mm. That's a slippery slope,
looking
and that's bad
time.
Times.
We're there,
and it's and no, I'm thinking where the Corollas are there, and I don't know why. It drives me nuts because it's sort of like lazy and stupid and lazy, or cheap and stupid and lazy. Like, it's just something weird. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Chinese food I can handle. Taco Bell, you're not supposed to eat it. But if you do, you got to get in your car and go to the drive-thru,
well,
whatever
it is.
You're
spending more on delivery than on the actual amount of tacos.
It just, it's like, at some point, I think I'm going to come home and Lynette and the kids are going to be lying down and someone is going to be pulling Skittles out of a hat and dropping it into their mouth. And I'm going to go, what's this? And they'll go, you don't have the app Skittle Drop? And I go, no, how's it work? Well, it's a guy who got fired from Uber. Yeah, how's it work? Well, he comes in and puts the Skittles in your mouth.
Oh.
And you're like, well, why don't you do that yourself? Well, you know, you're working the universal remote.
Of course.
You're petting the dog.
Here.
And what, you got a third arm? Who's doing the Skittles Drop? Oh, there's going to be an app called Skittles Drop. And I'm going to see I'm going to walk in and my daughter's going to be laying on the sofa with the head tilted about her mouth open. I'll go, what are you doing? I'm waiting for the Skittles Drop guy. he used to drive for Uber. I don't know why. You know what? I didn't ask. They apparently it was amicable. They just agreed to disagree.
Yeah.
They parted amicably and now he's got a gig working for Skittles Drop. Now, he's getting bonded so he can drop Mike and Ike. That's a whole different. No, they got to go. They got to get certified. You want to drop Mike and Ike's?
What about
play?
Red Hot?
Choke on those.
Another certification.
Yeah.
So every time you have to get a new certification.
The certification you do for Mike and Ike's and Red Hot's are the same one.
Well, but what about the hot tamale, which is made by the Mike and Ike people? It's the same. It's the same shape. It's red.
Right, I'm tired of my own premise now.
Did you notice, by the way, those two guys covered in shaving cream were clean shaven?
It's always the way.
You notice they were both hot?
It's always the way.
They were good looking, but they had nary a facial hair.
All right, let's see. Sandra. Hey, Sandra. 56
Hi,
Monterey.
Guys.
Oh, you. Hey, what's going on? How's your How's your home doing over there?
Oh, it's doing great. We're just getting it all ready for you to come visit someday.
Hey, I'm coming out, man. Getting prepped.
Yep.
Race is coming
soon. You need
to
come on up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to send a shout-out to all the Facebook ace-holes.
Thank you. I
our
thank
little
them.
Group. I will. I was wondering, how do you feel about big calves on a woman? You know, on a male, it's funny, you're always talking about it on them. Guys, but what if you see big calves on a woman?
That is so cool.
Vinny loves it.
Isn't?
I realize I do like a shapely calf, but not a big calf.
Because it's not, I have big calves, but it's not fat legs. It's big shelf calf that I've had since I was in high school from my dad. Scottish heritage.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is what drives me nuts about calves. It's all genetic. And which is fine. I have skinny calves, but I hate it when somebody has beautiful calves and then they explain to me why. Mm. And they do this. They go, when I was in high school, I spent a summer and I used to show horses. And you go, yeah. Well, you'd walk in sand and you'd have to trot them. And you're like, please, you're 44 and your calves are amazing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no,
it's not for me doing
because I was on the gymnastics team and I was on speech and debate. Now, you wouldn't think. And it's like, oh, shut up. You have great calves. And I know it because you see guys who play like professional tennis for a living and their calves are not as good as a guy who has great calves genetically.
Yeah.
So there's not, I mean, look, you can do something, but not, you'll never outdo what God does.
And calf implants for guys are things.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
They've never done anything for me. I've just not been able to wear boots my whole life pretty much because they're.
Slow down.
We need a photo.
I wanted to tell you, I was listening to you earlier, and I'm cleaning slime today because my granddaughter woke up in it all stuck all over her blanket.
What are the ingredients of the slime?
Shit, I mean, shoot. Oh, my God, yeah. I'm sorry.
Do your calves rub together?
I don't know. She can't.
Yeah. If I put a match, if I took a book of matches and I taped one to one calf and I taped
the strike side
on the other to the other one, would we have a fire in your crotch or not, Sandra?
Oh my, I don't even know what that means. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
She's being modest.
What are the ingredients for the granddaughter slime?
Well, I know she asked for borax, and I said, go ask your aunt. Who
that's
lives
right,
next door.
Borax.
So they made it over there.
All we do is waste stuff that's in,
borax.
I'm assuming,
that's no cleaner too.
Incredible demand in other parts of the world.
Borax.
Borax
hasn't been around forever.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah,
thanks, Sandra.
It's horrible.
We appreciate it. I love calves. That's my thing.
Okay.
All right. Love you, baby. All right, last one. We'll bring Jeff Goldblum in. What's the question? What's it say?
If one of Adam's kids were to do porn when they turned 18, which one would he rather and why?
Mm.
Let's go around the table before.
Sean?
The fluffer.
Oh.
Sean?
Easy.
Yeah.
Would you like to present this?
Yeah. So your kids are going to be 18 in approximately 6 years and 49 days.
Oh,
and they'll be eligible to do adult films. Mm-hmm. So I need you to pick a male porn star.
Well, hold on. Trump says he's lowering it to 14 and a half.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys watch his speech last night? I was like, why do we even need this? In between the pipeline talk and the economy, went right for this.
Stick to the issues, man.
Needless.
Another self-inflicted wound.
That's what I'm saying. Why 14 and a half? Like, go 15.
Yeah,
come on, Trump.
Strange, arbitrary.
Anyway, but go ahead.
So you got to pick a male porn star. Mm-hmm. And then one of them takes it in the keister on film, and the other one's a fluffer for a year.
Mm-hmm.
These are very...
But never makes it in front of the camera.
Wait.
Oh.
You have to assign one to one
one's
job.
One's a fluffer, and the other one's in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I go fluffer.
So
I go fluffer.
I think there's one.
I think he wants you to assign one to
one of your children.
Sorry. I thought this was going to be easier.
And by the way, you don't have to do this.
Right. So
I save this for Goldblum.
I have to assign them to, one's on camera.
Right.
And the other.
Correct.
The other.
Strictly
okay.
Strictly below the line.
I probably put the girl on camera.
Yeah.
And the reason I do that is because I feel like half her graduating class is going to be on camera by the time they get. Now, either be stuff that was sanctioned or stuff where the boyfriend just grabbed it on his iPhone and tossed it on the ultra web.
Either way, look at the Kardashians. They're going to turn into a billion-dollar empire.
There you go. Between Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, the stigma is gone with that. It's still around. I don't know any guy version of the Kardashians.
Nope.
So,
doesn't exist.
So I'll put her on camera, and I'll have the boy go full. Mm-hmm. I'll tell him. You know what? I'll tell him to get the knee pads. Too much of a tell, but that gardening pad,
just
a piece of foam you carry around.
Well, the carpet guy, you know, if he's really into it, the carpet guy has that.
Oh yeah, really nice knee people pad. Think you're laying tile.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. All right. There you go, Sean.
Now, I know you love a good hypothetical. Your bar is if you can get someone to flip-flop.
Yes. That's how you know it's a good hypothetical. That's my hypothetical of you do it with girls. You go, would you think of the most disgusting person you work with at the radio station?
Done.
Everyone hears
very
quick, easy on the eyes.
All
right. You think of that person and you go, you actually have sex with that person and nobody knows.
Right.
Not even that person when you're done.
Oh,
you
so
know.
It's just,
right.
You know.
No harm, no foul.
You had sex with the most disgusting guy at work.
Yep.
And you know this. He does not, and neither does anyone you work with. Or you don't have sex with them, and everyone at work assumes you had sex with them. They know you had sex with them. It's a known fact. And including him, not you. So every girl goes, I don't care. What's in my heart's in my heart. When I know and it's clean, I go, what about the Christmas party? You got to show up at the Christmas party. And eventually I'll get her to go, what position? Can I drink?
How long?
And how long is this going to take? And I go, 10 minutes on your back. And I go, fine.
Deal.
Go get him.
Lights off.
By the way, I should actually have that guy. Herb, come in here. Good news.
You won't remember.
Get the chloroform.
So if you can take a hypothetical and get someone to go A and then flip-flop to B, that means it's a great hypothetical because that's the question. You want to split it right down the middle. So, Sean, get me to flop.
Okay. So if the girl is in the movie, your guy friends might tend to watch it, whereas the boys in the movie with the male porn star, they might not watch it.
Yeah. But it would follow him, and I experimented with this with a girlfriend once.
Did you now?
Many years ago. No.
Easy shot.
This information. Many girls have had a experience with another girl's camp, college, whatever.
Go
just
on.
Whatever. Right. And the boyfriend loves hearing the story about what happened in the upper bunk there or a college roommate or whatever it was. You then tell your girlfriend, I used to work with a guy, I used to do comedy with a big, heavy-set Jewish guy named Mark Drottman, and I'd say to her, like, everyone's going, oh, we'd had a couple of drinks, so I blew Mark Drottman, and she'd go, oh, yuck, like, stop it. Stop saying that. Because it was funny that it was not, not a two-way street. It's kind of a weird deal-breaker, I would say, for maybe not in the future, but certainly in the past, it would freak out a lot of wives. They'd think you'd be going back. They don't think it's a one and done kind of thing. So it follows the dude around.
Yeah, the flexibility.
It will hurt exists. The relationship. I don't, you know, I think Kim and Kanye are fine.
Right.
Oh. I think if Kanye was keistering Ray J.
Kim, I'd raise an eyebrow.
She would be, when he went out on tour with the fellas for a few months, she'd be wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
Sean?
All right, I'll try harder next time.
But not bad. Not bad. Not bad. All right. Jeff Goldblum is out there. We'll bring him in 1 second. And good news about Blue Apron. Kickstart the new year with Blue Apron and Whole30. For 8 weeks, ending February 26th, Blue Apron's teaming up with Whole30 to bring you delicious recipes. Mexican spice, barramundi. That's right. With avocado. Takarashi chicken, lettuce cups with avocado, and kale and sweet potato salad. Fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, step-by-step recipes, cooked in under 45 minutes, sent right to your door. 12 new recipes each week to pick from. It's healthy, It's fresh. It's straight to your door. And you get the satisfaction of putting it together yourself. I love Blue Apron. Every once in a while, when I find something I love and it's exceptional, I tell Nanny Olga to slide that little laminated picture and put it in the drawer, and we'll steal it. We'll use it later. My listeners get their first three meals for free with their first order. So you can save $30. It's a $30 value. Visit blueapron.com/Adam. Get your first three meals free with your first order at blueapron.com/Adam. Let's eat healthy this year, man. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right. Jeff Goldblum will be in here in a second. We'll talk to him. Vinny, celebrity fitness trainer. You can listen to him on his podcast on iTunes, the Pure Vitamin Club. How do we get involved with that? Oh, now, this is what should be delivered to your door, right?
It is. Yeah, it's kind of like Gillette. It comes right to your door. You sign up, and every month they show up. Show up right to your door.
Well, magnesium?
I've been taking that stuff.
I need magnesium.
Yeah, Gary's on it.
It's good stuff.
I got to get
His
going.
His wife-to-be is on it.
I got to get going myself.
That is so cool. and by the way, I had a lot of it around here, right, Gary? You know, I'm just going to have Andy send a subscription right to your house, and it'll just keep showing up, and eventually you'll have to start taking it because it'll just keep showing up.
All right, yeah. Well, now, especially with this magnesium thing. All right, we'll take a quick break. Jeff Goldblum in next.
This week at AdamCarolla.com, Take a Knee with Adam Carolla and Alan Alda.
You know, something I found from improvising and from acting on the stage was that real listening, and just take this from the point of view of being an actor on the stage, and it's also true in improvising, real listening is being willing to be changed by the other person.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at adamcarolla.com.
Jeff Goldblum in studio. Sorry. Jeff Goldblum in studio. Arroyo Seco is playing this weekend.
Yes, sir.
We had the creators of the Arroyo Seco event in here.
Wow, that's interesting.
Glad to keep talking about it.
Yeah, me too. Well, you know more about it than I do then. I'm just kind of being, pulled along on this adventure, but I'd like to know more about it myself. So who is this?
Well, we got Paul Tillett and Nick Adler.
Yeah, and Lou Adler's kid.
Oh, my gosh.
A name if you know who these people are.
Oh, really?
He's a promoter and a legendary, owned, I don't know, the Roxy, the Whiskey.
Well,
Lou Adler.
Lou Adler, sure.
Yeah. I
met Lou Adler at Keith Addis' house recently when they did a Carole King, when she came and sang for his charity, Oceana, and Lou Adler was there.
Yeah, he's one of those,
And of course,
best known as a guy who's
sidekick Jack Nicholson, basketball games.
Yeah.
Lakers, your middle name.
Cooler, yes. The guy who's always sitting next to Jack is Lou Adler. And I argue that those guys, much like celebrity chefs getting laid more than celebrities, they're actually cooler than the celebrities because everyone's more fixated with how is that guy best friends with all of these dudes?
Yeah.
And then he gets on the phone and he gets them all to the house and it does the charity and does everything. I'm much more obsessed with Lou Adler than I am with whoever the big celebrity is who's sitting next to him.
Lou Adler,
with what, Matt
look
Damon
at him. There he is. Oh, yeah. Look how cool he looks, actually. I recently fashioned my wardrobe styling for this movie that I'm currently shooting with Jodie Foster and Zach Quinto and Jenny Slate on Lou Adler because I play this Malibu billionaire who's sort of an ex-hippie turned, capitalist.
A good template to model one's look after. And you bring up Jodie Foster, and I always bring up Jodie Foster. I've never met her. I know nothing about her. And the reason I know nothing about her is because that's how she chooses to live her life. And it drives me nuts when celebrities do that. Hey, man, I'm trying to just get along here. And the paparazzi's popping out. And well, don't go to Mr. Chow's at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And you wouldn't run into whatever. And then I always go, what does Jodie Foster do? Where is she? Why isn't she all over TMZ?
She actually keeps a low profile.
She does what you claim you want, but I don't think you want it because you're standing in front of Mr. Chow's.
That's correct. You're talking my language.
She is a person who says it and then lives it. Yep. You're a person who says it and then you go to Mr. Chow's.
So who, you? When you're pointing to
not
Brian,
not
me.
You. I'm talking about the celebrities are like, I get bothered every time I go. There's a way to avoid it. Do whatever Jodie Foster does.
I've said the same thing many times myself. And I know plenty of those types or a few of those types, so they'll remain nameless, who pretend. Yeah, they just pretend and they complain and they, arrange, attention getting situations for themselves, of course. And they, posture like some kind of, as if it's glamorous. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Why won't they leave me alone?
Right. Yeah. You'll go to the Ivy for brunch and you can be left alone.
It's stupid. They're stupid.
The reality is, if you're, as I thought about it, because now when I go out to lunch with Jimmy Kimmel, now he's Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the guy who hosts the Oscars. It's going to attract a crowd. Au contraire, just go to some little place in Burbank or Glendale, go to the kebab place, and the Armenian guy owns it, and nobody will say a word.
That's correct. But having said that, it always makes me uncomfortable to jump on the side of, ooh, look at so-and-so, I don't like what they're doing, because, as you point the finger, how many are pointing back at you, of course. So as my third grade teacher
said, 9, because I'll use my other hand to point back at me as well. So I've got 5 on one hand and then 4 on the other.
Well, literally.
Or 3 or something.
Well, I think 6 because the thumb is not pointing back at you.
I feel like anything I don't want to lose that's not a dick is my finger.
Jeez.
I know my grandfather used to tell me that.
Son, say it again.
If I don't want to lose it, I count as a finger. And I don't want to lose a thumb.
I see.
So I count as a finger, but I don't want to be confused with my dick.
It's been said many times.
I see.
As I've said.
In any case, I'm guilty. Having said that, what I was in the middle of doing is trying to bust myself on I'm guilty of, enjoyment from attention. Those buses, it's been told, those buses go by. Just yesterday, I was driving to my gig at Rockwell Jazz Group, and a bus. One of those now so ever-present buses from TMZ or one of the others,
Tour buses.
Yeah, and I go by and I see the guy, big shot with the microphone, and there's the da-da-da-da-da, and I go, you're missing something. I think they'd be very interested if they just turned to the right. And I sort of make myself a little bit available. It was pathetic. Last night, I kept trying, and I caught a couple of people's eye who were in the bus. Nothing. No.
Oh, my God.
Not interested. Didn't see anything. And then I was even kind of muttering a couple of things like, he was saying something like, oh, yeah, we have a lot of, it was on Hollywood Boulevard. He was saying, oh, yeah, we have a lot of Marilyn Monroe's and this. And I go, Marilyn. I rolled down the window. I started to mutter something. Couldn't get his attention.
He starts muttering like Chaos Theory.
Exactly. The movies. And then just pathetically and glumly, I drove on. Having had nothing. Nothing. Aren't I stupid? I'm the stupidest person in the world.
Well,
that's my theory.
I can say from experience, if there's nobody around, then there's nothing. And that's fine. But if it's the thing where you're walking through LAX and they all go running to...
Yes. Right.
Let's see. Who shall we think?
Okay,
Justine Bateman. Is in front of you.
Oh, I love Justine Bateman. Wait a
so
minute.
So does the paparazzi.
I work
and
with her.
And they all go running for Justine, and you're walking like that. Now, look.
Is she working as a sky cop?
I know. We're all stupid. We're all a little bit stupid.
And
it's a bitter
pill. You do
pill.
Like a, hey, over here, how about that? But, that's why. I know. See, the thing is I make fun of people who go to Mr. Chow and go to the Ivy and do all that. But the reality is I'm scared that I would walk back and forth unscathed. That's my secret fear.
So
I don't go for that reason.
So we've learned a great lesson today.
Have.
We are, in fact, the problem of which we complain.
And don't fly out of Chicago with Justine Bateman. That's really my takeaway.
That's the lesson.
I love those Batemans. Here. I worked with both of them. I worked with Justine in a Ileana Douglas project.
We love her.
We love her to pieces. She could be my sister, we've always said, you know.
Yeah, you got the eyes.
The eyes.
And the hand movements.
Exactly. And of course, her brother. Boy.
Yeah.
I did that movie, The Switch, with him. He was delightful.
I know he's a delight because I saw him at Jimmy's softball game last weekend. And I did something that I think I like that I wish people would do, because I think people are a little bit like, leave him alone. Uh-huh. He's trying to play softball, this kid, or whatever. But we were playing softball. So I just walked up to him and I thought, I think I'll find a movie like Bad Words. And I'll tell him I really enjoyed that movie. Yeah. And I thought you were great in it. And I thought the writing was really strong. Because I know no matter how big you get.
Directing debut.
Yeah. No matter how whatever you get, that always feels good, especially when it's your movie. And he immediately, he said, thank you. And then he went right to the little kid.
Aww.
In that movie, and he said, wasn't that kid great? I mean, I said, he was. It was great in that movie, but sweet. So were you. But I could tell he was a modest guy, because he immediately deflected
to the
co-star.
He's a sweet, sweet guy. I kept pestering him all during the shooting of The Switch, because I'd seen every episode of Arrested Development. So I asked him about every episode, and he was delightful.
Was he willing to talk about it?
Yeah. Oh, so sweet. Yeah. I had.
So speaking of talking about stuff, Jurassic World 2?
Well, now they've
five overall.
Today, I saw probably just when you saw it. They've released as of today the name. They have heretofore secret name. It's Jurassic World. Let me see. Hidden World. Wait a minute. No, Fallen World. Wait a minute. Jurassic.
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen
so
Kingdom.
Says Gary.
There we go.
What a tease.
Fallen Kingdom.
And you're back.
It sticks in your mind as soon as you hear it. You can't forget it. I couldn't bring it up.
Etched into your brain.
I'm sure by the time I say it 800 million more times, it'll go.
Jeff's
Fallen
tagline is on the poster, and it's Jeff's line, famous line, which is life finds a way.
Dr. Ian Malcolm from that first movie was a legendary point shitter. Because remember, everyone's like, oh, we're going to make millions, billions of dollars off this park. Nothing go wrong. And he was like, something's going to go wrong. What do you mean something's going to go wrong? Life finds a way.
Yeah.
Chaos there.
And he didn't have an answer. What a point?
I'm known on the show for crapping on a point here and there. I don't make a point. I will give a counterpoint that makes almost no sense.
I never heard that expression. That's good.
Your character was one of the original.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. Something's going to go wrong, guys. Something's going to go wrong.
You thought PS stood for I got more to write? No.
It's not postscript, my friend.
How about that? Since when has that been? Did you coin that? Are you guys?
I feel like I tracked it and I coined
it. He's observed.
Hey, congratulations.
So where did you shoot? Are you shot out? Are you done?
I'm shot out. As of a week ago, I went to London.
Oh, you're shooting in London. Is there a big, huge soundstage there?
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, what's the stage called where they shoot all those? Yes.
Pinewood.
That's where we shot Pinewood. All the Bond. There's a Bond stage. I was so thrilled to see it, and I posted a little picture on Instagram because on the way out, I took a picture of myself in front of the statue that Oddjob in Goldfinger
cut the head off.
Because I stayed at this. I was staying like for a week at this hotel, and the main kind of place was kind of a clubhouse in front of a golf course. Mm-hmm. And I went, that looks familiar. And then I asked somebody. They said, oh, yes, it's still the same.
Oh, we're looking at it now. Yeah.
There it is. That statue.
Had a derby of death.
A derby with a metal thing around that.
So, anyway, what were we talking about?
I'm shot out.
Were you filming in like Kauai or something? Where is the non-stage stuff?
So, J.A. Bayona, who directed The Impossible, that movie with a tsunami.
I love that movie.
Yes, me too. Naomi Watts, I love in anything. Mm-hmm. And then that When a Monster Calls, he did recently. Anyway, he is a wonderful guy, friend of Fernando Trueba, both Spanish directors. Anyway, he was shooting it, and I don't know why. Maybe that's the reason, because he's European. They shot the whole damn thing in London on this soundstage. It's very impressive, big. You can imagine what they built there. But then the day after I finished the last day of shooting there, they went to Hawaii to spend 4 more weeks. But I think they went to Oahu. We had gone in the number one and number two Jurassic Parks to Kauai for 2 weeks at a time. And it was during that first one where that hurricane hit and almost wiped us all out. Sadly killed four people, but we made it out.
I'm looking here, and it says you're in Annie Hall, but I'm trying to remember.
He was the guy. You don't remember?
He had the famous line. I'll let you do it, but he was the guy at the party.
Yeah, we'll do it together. Do you know it, Gina?
I'm afraid I'll mess it up, so you do it.
Well, you all know the line, but you may have forgotten it was a young Jeff Goldblum.
Let's do it, Brian. You do it.
Oh, gosh. It was
one, two, three.
Yes. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
My chakras.
I forgot my
mantra.
I forgot my mantra. Hello,
I've forgotten my mantra. Boy, that was it.
How about that, Woody Allen? What a lucky thing to even have met him or been in any movie. Our jazz group to which I alluded and we're playing at this Arroyo Seco, we played at the Carlisle Hotel for a week, like a year or so ago, where Woody Allen plays. And the day before we started our week, he had his nightly Monday night. I sat in the front row. And he said, hey, come on up and join us, sit in for a couple of numbers.
You're playing the piano.
I played the piano. It was a thrill of a lifetime.
I must say, playing the jazz piano and or the jazz guitar, it's interesting because you see people do stuff in life, like guys that are really fast swimmers, Phelps, fast swimmer. I'm not jealous. I just go, it sounds like a whole bunch of time with an infected ear and not communicating with people and like working your ass off. And then really, what do you got at the end of the day? Because we found out he could swim at like 5.6 miles an hour or something. So I could, a brisk walk. If I was outside the pool, I'd be faster than you. If I just a hurried, like with a little purpose. If I walk with just a little purpose.
Not
like
quite a jog.
Let's say there was a vending machine just full of stuff that I really wanted on the other side of the pool. Yeah. I could get out of the pool and walk next to you and just sort of keep up with
if
you.
If it was a yesteryear in evolution and we were all still in the water, that would be one thing. But since salamander days,
who's going to fight the squid? It's Phelps! And then you'll get laid. But this is just you going back and forth. Fine.
Although it's a great accomplishment.
It's I'm not interested.
Okay.
Playing the jazz piano.
Yeah, really?
I love it. It's like you spoke of James Bond. It is that thing where it's like we all have this fantasy of showing up at the party and the Steinway's over there and somebody, you can't do it yourself, but someone's got to go, come on. And
I don't know.
Just
I'm
tickle
really
the ivories
really.
A little. It's right up there with like you being with a hot chick you just met and somebody comes out and breaks out into a foreign language and you're able to reply back.
Yeah.
You're able to reply. It's that kind of fantasy. It would never happen, but that's a fantasy.
I agree entirely. It still strikes me. You know, last night we played a gig and, you know, I always feel like, oh, they all laughed when he sat down to play the piano. And then, oh, look, he's playing the piano. I'm sort of impressed with myself as I play it. Although, once you get into it, and I play with great guys, you start listening to not only them, but other piano players. And you go, geez, as long as I live, I'm not going to play like that.
But let's not be modest. Let's rank ourselves.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy.
I'm a zero. Phelps is a 10.
Where are you?
No. You're good enough. Like, I think we all have things that we do. I race cars. I think I can objectively kind of say I'm about this good. I'm not that good, but I'm better than that.
And you made that documentary about Paul Newman.
Yes, I did.
How about that? Congratulations. That must have been, but let's not get waylaid there, but put a bookmark in there because I want to talk about that and many other things, but that's fascinating to me. And
tell
Paul
you about
Newman
it.
Is fascinating. I want to hear
tell
all
about
that.
It. But first. But you tell me.
But anyway, jazz piano. Where do I rank?
Yeah, I mean, you'd go like I'm a professional. Like I'm not going to be the best, but I'm a 7 or whatever it is.
They give me cash for it, after I play, and so I guess that means I'm a professional. I play with other guys who are actual professionals. But I'd suppose if I wasn't known for movie parts, it's like those people who go, "Hey, I'm having an art show," but yeah, you're. George Bush, or
right.
So how's your painting really? But having said that, I'm okay. Here's what.
What?
I don't know how I compare with other people.
I can figure it out.
I try not to do that, but I tell you this, I love it. I love it. And it changes my life, not only being able to play for people or to impress myself, but more to share with people that. And I sit down by myself every single day of life. And play. Even if I'm on the road, having talked about London, I went and found their piano in that hotel.
Every single day.
And I figure, every single day. And I play for a while, and it changes my day. It's just a great thing to do.
That's the other part that makes me insanely jealous. I feel like it's got to be amazingly therapeutic do that for... Yeah. And amazingly everything.
Your mom was a therapist, was a psychologist.
My dad
speaking
was.
Of which, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I got it wrong.
That's all right.
Your mom was...
My grandmother was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
but we couldn't play the piano.
And but look at you now, carrying on the human understanding.
Yeah. Right? Cutting to the core.
Yeah.
Really runs the family.
I mean, I'm interested in it, and that's probably the only traits we share are the quest for how humans were designed and how they work and how they function.
Me too. Me.
I love it.
Could you go to therapy? Have you ever been to therapy yourself?
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Me too.
I'm the thing that's most interesting to me is how most people aren't interested in the subject of human beings, which is a weird one because I feel like, you know, how many people take taekwondo, judo, or play the saxophone, or learn a second language, or any of these things, and have no interest in what motivates human beings.
Yes.
I feel like that should be number one, number two, number three. Oop! I just got my pen. I got so excited, I launched my pen. Sorry, Gina.
That was amazing.
I threw my hand, and
it's like
the
magic.
Mic.
You were like David Copperfield.
If I could do that,
it flew out
consistently.
Your hand.
I would be in Vegas right now, or at least Reno, or Sparks. I'd probably be in Sparks. But the point is this:
hey, you know who David Copperfield looks exactly like? I was just watching another documentary as I was, you know, finding yours and many others. Philip Roth. Young, I saw a documentary on Philip Roth, and I went, young Philip Roth. I'd never seen a picture of him. Looks just like, looks like he could be
saying,
David
I don't know who he is,
Copperfield.
But here's what I got.
I do
what dumb people do, which is I don't know that name, but I know Eli Roth. I know Philip Moore. So this guy makes cigarettes and slasher movies, and that's how my brain
works.
That's all I got.
Novelist, older. That's the one we know. But if you look up like 18-year-old, if you can find it, Philip Roth, he looks like David Copperfield. Anyway, I digressed again. I got you off. I detoured you from something you were talking about, which was fascinating. Which I'm not.
I was. We'll talk Paul Newman, but we'll talk. Talk about your bandmates are all professional seasoned musicians.
They certainly are.
And whether it's basketball or playing jazz piano, if you are keeping up with those musicians, then you are at a certain level, and that level's professional player.
Well, I play every day, and I had a flair for it early on. You know, I'm okay. I like to play. Yeah, I'm
You're
okay.
Good.
I'm okay. I like to play. You know, speaking of the band members, I'd be remiss if I didn't say James King, who plays with Fitz and the Tantrums.
Love those guys.
Also on, he's the saxophone player. He's fantastic. Colin Kubka, fantastic
Fitz
saxophone player.
Fitz and the Tantrums
player.
Are great folks. They played a charity event I did once.
Really?
And we did. My wife threw in a charity event. They came down and played. They were great.
Natalia Paradise. No, Natasha.
You're getting close.
Natalia, and then Paradise.
That's my wife's maiden name.
Oh.
It's really Paradiso.
Well, of course, she's Mrs. Carolla now.
Yeah.
But Paradiso, really?
Yeah, it's a great name, isn't it?
I wish I were Paradiso.
Don't we all?
Hey, did you bring your wallet? I can work this out.
Well, really? I pay you to change my name? Kenny Elliott is our drummer. He played with... Oh, we were talking last night. I'd never known it. He'd played with Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
Tim Emmons, our bass player. John Story. New West Guitar Group. He's fantastic. And John Mastro is our master director. I don't know. I never know what we're going to do. And he kind of surprises me with the whole set list and what I'm going to talk about. I just go on the adventure. John
well,
Mastro.
I'll tell you, that is Arroyo Seco. That is, that's this weekend, right?
It is Saturday, 4 to 5. We'll be in that tent, wherever it is. And
it's Brookside. It's the golf club at the Rose Bowl, right next to Dr. Drew's house.
What does Arroyo Seco mean? I just learned the other day. Because I don't speak.
Something river?
Yes. Arroyo is river, who's the name of my second now-born son, 2 months old.
We had
river. Mazel tov.
Merci beaucoup.
Dry stream, so says. I was thinking of Laguna Seca.
Dirt patch.
That's not Seco.
No. Dirt patch. I wish my name was dirt patch.
What's it mean?
It means dry. Seco is dry, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Dry river.
Oh, it used to be a river. Paul Newman.
Yes, sir. Boy, great.
Watch that doc. Yeah. Because you're an interested person.
Yes, I am.
And you said, oh, here's a documentary. It drives me nuts when people pick their documentaries on the subject. Just watch good documentaries and learn something. Why are you picking? And people go, I'm not really a car guy, but I watched a doc and I loved it. You know, and I go, you don't have to be a car guy. It's a story about a guy.
Right.
He's into cars. You don't have to be into cars.
Right. I love documentaries, too.
Yeah, me too.
I just watched, in this last week, I took up my treadmill time by watching... Wait a minute. I wrote it down. I could remember it. Oh, so the Philip Roth documentary, you know, he's a writer. He wrote Portnoy's Complaint, which I'm sure might interest you, and many other delicious, deep books. And then listen to this. You should see this. And I recommend all your listeners and you two guys too. Los Angeles Plays Itself. You ever hear of that?
Yes. No. Yes.
Brian's
I've been meaning to see this, yeah.
Oh, boy. I know. It's a wonderful documentary about movies.
Isn't it really long?
Yes, it is.
But
it's over two hours. And then there's another version I just heard of that's like 4 hours long I'm trying to get because I just can't get enough of it. It's movies located, set in Los Angeles. And it's this guy's, you know, story and his little tour through those movies and the clips. You never see him, but his sort of disgruntled...
like Chinatown and
yes,
that kind of stuff.
And other things that you've never heard of, but how Los Angeles, in his view, is misportrayed. And then he gives you the real history of Los Angeles, which is dark and tangled and interesting, and gets into stuff like that. But it's very good. I like that. Right. So I saw that again, an Ingmar Bergman documentary that I saw, and then a Ilya Kazan documentary where Scorsese talks about him.
There's
anyway.
So much good product out there. All right, so we should all go to, I don't know, iTunes or Amazon.
That changed my life, being able to click, but gank. You know, I used to go to a video store and go, well, for the week, I'll pick one or two. I don't know.
Yeah, and that was just to pad the porn. You know what I mean?
It's throw like, them off the
right.
scent.
Yeah, it's like when you're going for the fun size, king size Snickers bar, but you have to buy some eggs and a quart of milk just to kind of pad it out. Otherwise, you're a desperate person. Would go in and rent the porn, you have to pad it out with a couple of heady docs. Yeah. You know what
How
I mean?
How much of our lives is spent trying to mask our true nature?
Oh,
boy,
God.
That's right up our alley. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Do a read, and I'm going to hit with Jeff with my two favorite Jeff Goldblum movies that are a little underrated.
Oh,
so maybe don't come up as often as the Independence Days of the world.
L.A. Plays Itself is on iTunes.
Los Angeles Plays Itself, yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. This says L.A., but maybe that's Gary Ryan. It's 95% of Rotten Tomatoes. Gary, remind me. I'll check that out. Hey, Geico, man. You've heard me tell you about this before. A lot of you got car insurance. You could save some money. Now, you have to have car insurance, but you have to pay a premium for it. Why don't you check it out? Find out how much you could save. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Where? At geico.com. Geico.com. Spend a couple minutes on your computer. Find out how much you could be saving at geico.com. All right, Brian, go ahead.
I really enjoy your performance in Igby Goes Down. I'm not quite sure how many people bring that up to you, but it's really excellent.
Yeah, you ever see that, you guys, Gina?
It's a bit of under the radar movie.
Burstier's director wrote and directed that. He used to be in my acting class, and it's got a great cast, Susan Sarandon and Bill Pullman. Amanda Peet, Rory Culkin, that's right.
It's a good movie. And another one.
Claire Danes.
I don't know how often, I imagine when people come up to, I thought of this when you were talking about not being recognized by the bus. When people come up to you, there must be a lot of Jurassic Park, a lot of Independence Day, those types of movies. I love The Fly. It's one of my favorite movies. And it was the best example I've ever seen of that kind of horror, grotesque movie, but so much going on. So many layers, really well done.
Well, that's David Cronenberg. He's a smart, interesting,
great movie.
That movie proves that you can be in this genre and still have a lot of heart and story and humor and pathos and everything else in this genre.
And dark and thriller.
That's the mistake. I feel like they go, okay, we're going to make this kind of movie, so forget it with all this. And it's like, oh no, double down on the humor and the pathos and everything else and keep it in this sci-fi genre or whatever, horror, sci-fi, whatever,
thriller, whatever.
But people have done that. You know, it used to be B-movies, only B-movies, outer space things, but then, of course, 2001, you know, elevates it to like what you're talking about. And we were talking about Chinatown, speaking of which, Roman Polanski, how about Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah.
You know, it's a movie about a devil and da-da-da-da-da, but boy,
not
more
campy.
No, a more interesting, sophisticated movie you'll never find.
I've not seen Igby Goes Down, but I've seen Independence Day 189 times, I feel like I've made up for it.
And
Bill Pullman, right?
Yes.
There you go. You got the whole cast. That's right.
All right. Paul Newman.
What's your favorite Paul Newman movie?
I like Roll the Hustler.
I love The Hustler. Have you seen The Hustler, Jim?
I have. I've only seen it once.
The original one, not, of course, the sequel, Color of Money.
Everyone's seen Color of
Cool
Money.
Hand Luke.
Really?
That's my favorite.
I love Cool Hand Luke. Oh, Lalo Schifrin, that theme is beautiful, beautiful. And of course, who won an Oscar for best supporting actor in that movie?
Was it the big guy?
Yes.
George Kennedy.
George Kennedy.
George Kennedy, boss man or whatever his name, big boss man.
No, no, he was not the boss man.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, that was Strother Martin. Strother Martin.
Right.
No, he was one of the guys on the thing. Oh, keep washing that car, lady.
Oh, that's a good scene.
That's a good scene. And he becomes kind of the, you know, Lenny and, you know, to right. Paul Newman's right. character. Right. Oh, he's so sweet. And of course, he appears in an Albert Brooks movie.
Yes.
As himself.
Sound editor. Doing sound editing.
That's
modern
right.
problems. Modern times.
Modern romance.
Romance. Damn it. One's a Chevy Chase movie. I've got too many movies in my
modern
head.
Modern times. Yeah, Chaplin, of course.
The reason I know that movie where Kennedy is acting and they're trying to Foley him running in the spaceship and everything, all Albert Brooks movies are great. That's a really good movie. Defending Your Life is a great movie.
Great.
Lost in America is a great movie.
Great.
I remember I did a movie called The Hammer. It's an independent film. You haven't seen it, but I'll get you a copy of it.
And Real Life, of course. Don't forget his first movie, Real Life. Yeah,
those four. We were sitting, me and Kevin Hench, the guy who made the movie, were sitting in the sound Foley guy's room for a long period of time. He was a young guy, and we had to bring up the Albert Brooks movie. Modern romance, whatever. I'm all over the place. Modern romance. And we go, you must have seen this. And he's like, no, I've not seen it. And we're like, it's the only movie that's ever featured your job in it. Like
And that guy was a real, you know, Foley guy who worked it. That's the real guy.
Here's how you crap on a point. Blowout by Brian De Palma.
Ah, with John Travolta.
That's right.
Yeah. But he did it at the beginning,
thing.
And then he was like on the run for the rest of the time.
Investigating
or something. This guy was him going into the bay. The whole movie was Albert Brooks like just showing up into the bay. And I'm like, how come no one spread this in your little circles of Foley guys?
He and Bruno Kirby, my friend, who sadly is no longer with us, are doing it together, doing the Foley. He asks the guy, how much do you think that weighs? What do you think they're running? I don't know, space carpet? Okay, come on. How much do you think that weighs? I don't know, they're in space. Maybe it doesn't weigh anything. Okay, never mind. Let's do it. Let's just do it. They go. He goes, what is that? No, wait a minute. That's Hulk. That's not Hulk running. That's Hulk. Okay, let's Foley it ourselves. They go, chase me around the thing. Chase me. We got it. We did it. Let's hear it back. Yeah, that's it. They say, what do you think of it? He says, I think you just saved the picture.
I love that.
It's great.
He'd always put those glib guys in. It was always. But again, I like that movie. But Defending Your Life, I love.
Defending Your Life. Remember how we got to this road through Paul Newman and George Kennedy. George Kennedy, who tells that story. Or George Kennedy in the movie, within the movie, directed by Mr. Brooks, you know.
Right.
Who plays himself, says, you're acting like a bunch of little weasels.
You're right.
You know nothing.
Kennedy.
He's great.
Maybe his greatest role is the cop who liked to have a few pops in Earthquake.
Oh my God, that's him.
And, of course, I'm forgetting, when I first came to Los Angeles in the mid-70s, long before you were born, Gina, grad, I played a part on Blue Knight.
That was
George Kennedy's series.
And the,
how about that?
His shtick, and they never let you do this anymore. The Blue Knight, which was Kennedy's cop series. I feel like it came off of Earthquake. It's like, oh, you still got the outfit from Earthquake? Yeah, I do. All right, we're doing a series. Dukes of Hazzard's getting a 50 share, so who cares? We'll do what we want. Or that wasn't on you. But the point is this. His name was like Bumper or something like that. It had a cop name. It had like a nickname. And his shtick was what he did with the nightstick. He would walk his beat, and he'd have the nightstick out, and he'd have like the leather handle on it, and he'd be swirling around. Gary, you got to find Blue Knight.
Oh yeah, there it is. Look.
The Blue Knight. Is his name like Bumper George or something? Like I think we had a name like Bumper or something.
Based on by George Lumba.
And the deal was the beginning of it. He'd be walking the beat, and he'd have the nightstick out, and he'd be doing a kind of baton move
with Bumper Morgan.
Ooh. Bumper Morgan.
Hey, good call. Good memory.
Yeah, ask me who the vice president is. I don't know. What's his nose? I don't know. Bumper. His name was Bumper. Yeah. And he did the thing. But imagine a cop today walking around with the nightstick out, just swinging
around. Well, that was their thing. That was like, you know, the good guys, you know, flipping the coin. Remember on Top Cat, didn't Officer Dibble, you know, didn't he have that kind of, you know, he was always waving his stick around. Hey, Top Cat.
Yeah, that was Top Cat.
Did this follow him? Because I remember him most of the
time. Hold on. Remember on Clutch Cargo? We got to alienate the entire listening audience. This is people listen to podcasts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. More modern references. I get it. Okay.
Well, I'll try and help because the first thing that I think of him in is Naked Gun.
That's where I know him from, too.
Yeah, Naked Gun.
That was kind of a post, like, that was... Because he was all the cops in the previous things.
All right. Anyway, if you want to check out Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman,
yes,
you can get it on iTunes or chassis.com or whatever.
Newman, jeez.
What a guy.
Hustler. Oh,
I'll tell you, everyone should have the experience of doing a documentary because you really get into the life of that other person. You know, you get into really what they were about. He was about cars and racing. That's really what he was about.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I met him once. I shook his hand just briefly because I was involved with the, it was called Lionsgate Studios, which was Robert Altman's place in Westwood. And I did a movie. He brought me out here in 73 to do California Split, a movie I recommend. And then we did Nashville, also I recommend later that summer. And he had just done Buffalo Bill and the Indians with Paul Newman. Mm-hmm. And they were close-ish. And he'd done another movie in Canada called Fives that my friend Tom Pearson did the music for. But anyway, so Paul was hanging around because people did. He had parties. Robert Altman kind of would have a party around him all the time. And Paul Newman was there. And I said, hello, Mr. Paul Newman. Can you imagine?
Nothing
more interesting than that story, but
well,
you know.
No, I
just remembered it.
The first question everyone asks me is, I have his race cars, and I made the movie, and everyone says, do you read Paul Newman? I go, no, I have not, which I don't like, but I feel like I know him really well through going through all the archival stuff. Oh, this is him at the beginning. It's George Kennedy there.
Doing a little twirl.
I told you, that was his thing.
We have no information.
And his name is Bumper.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, threatening anybody with that stick. No, that's not cool these days. Get out of the way.
I'll tell you one of my favorite Simpson jokes that Brian probably knows the punchline to. It's been a while. Well, you should know it based on that clip, but I'll tell you one of my favorite Simpson jokes, and I have a lot of them, but I don't know why this one always jumped out at me. I think Bart was said to the cop, he said, one of the cops, I don't know if it's Wiggum or not, he said, Hey, can I play with your club? He's on the nightstick. He said, son, we don't call it a club. We call it a baton. I said, oh, all right. What do you do with it? Club people. It made me laugh. It's a perfect joke because it's perfect. Because the cops used to call it a billy club, and someone went, no, call it a baton.
Right.
But they still use it to club people. It's as if we're going to cure the problem because the thing that
nomenclature
beating Rodney King with is called a baton. Sure. It's actually a little humiliating to the guy with the broken bone.
It's a real,
Had to run him with a baton.
Salt in the wound.
Pretty tough majorette, huh?
He batoned me. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's a movie trivia thing. So look at Gina's nail polish. Gina Grant's nail polish.
Oh,
look at the
color. She has hands?
Thank you.
Look at the color of it.
The
fetching color of it. Uh-huh. What color would you call that?
I'd call it a fleshy, flesh tone. Beige. Pearl.
What character in what movie wore that same color?
This is for $1 million.
You'll never get it.
On their fingers?
What?
On their fingers, not toes, I'm assuming.
Brian,
I never
is that
saw their
help
toes.
You?
The toes were not visible in that movie, as far as I remember. No. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie from, it could have been the 70s.
You know nothing.
Could have been hey, that's right. That's
now
good.
This is good pot.
This is very good pot. The 60s. Okay. Faye Dunaway.
You know nothing.
What movie? You know nothing. You're acting like a bunch of little weasels.
Faye
Dunaway.
Well, Bonnie and Clyde?
Not Mommy.
No.
Dearest.
Thomas Crown Affair with Steve McQueen.
Also
a
racing. Driving.
Also a driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well done.
Yeah. The king of cool.
This
That's
has been trivia
name.
Time with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Hey, you like how I took you there?
No. That was awesome.
You should be hosting a game show. I know you never stop working doing theatrical stuff, but now that everyone's just toggling back and forth, you got Baldwin, you know, they're backing up the Brinks truck and they're paying Baldwin. Why aren't you hosting one of those fun night out?
Yeah, I got a title.
You know nothing.
And it's just stuff off the top of your head.
Yeah. Hey, so You Know Nothing is the title?
Welcome
are you,
to.
Are you controlling those? Yes. You push those buttons.
Yes, I am.
You Know Nothing. Yeah,
you Know Nothing.
That's good. Hey, that's a good title.
Yeah. You find guys. You make sure all the contestants are in their mid to early 20s. And then you make references about obscure movies.
Yes.
Hannah Shigula starred in what movie?
Right.
In 91? It was Hungarian. It was Hungarian, but it was subtitled 1949 Hannah Shigula movie. Go.
And that's his catchphrase when they don't know. It's like,
exactly.
Who's
you know nothing. You know nothing. Exactly.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Exactly. Right. I like it. That's a winner.
Once again, we ended a dead heat 0-0.
And that's why, and then the audience says, that's why you got to play.
You know nothing. That's a winner. That's a billion-dollar idea.
That's a winner idea.
You know nothing. Okay.
But I have had the honor of seeing Jeff on stage before. And
oh, really?
It was incredible. We spoke about it for a minute.
And we do like to play games, yeah.
Yeah.
We have some quizzes.
There's a great...
better mix it up a little bit. I know, who's tired of New Bottle Blonde? Really? Come on. I'm the only one with a hand up? Probably because that beer's weighing it down. Hey, you guys remember Jurassic Park? Well, yeah, we didn't see it, but you remember it. I said, do you remember Jurassic? Let's not get caught up in semantics. Jeff Goldblum, come to stage 7, Jeff. Quit grin, drop the lid. Let's not be happy and drop them chappy. All right.
What the heck was that? That's the best thing I ever heard. That's stripper. What?
That's stripper talk. What? That's DJ to strip club. What? Where'd you see Jeff on stage?
He did a great play called Seminar at the Amundsen Theater.
Oh, look
and
at you.
You know, the biggest compliment I think you can give, and I think Brian, we've talked about this in movies before, when you know you're going to see Jeff Goldblum, and a friend of mine was in it with him, who I was so proud of, but. After a little bit, you forget you're watching Jeff Goldblum, which is such a huge compliment because you're so enwrapped with what the character's doing that you're not watching you, you're watching your work.
Oh, thank you.
It was really wonderful.
Thank you.
As a play, I feel like a play is such a major time suck, right?
You know
nothing. I mean, you just have to. You got to do it for the art, right? It's not the money and it's not anything other than you have to memorize, 100 pages of dialogue. I mean, it's just tough, right?
And then show up 8 times a week and do it again and again. But I never got into this whole thing other than any reason other than for the love of it. I wasn't interested in making money or getting famous, really.
Have you had a period that was could be called downtime or dormant or anything in the last 25 or 30 years?
Believe it or not, months here or there, but believe it or not, no. And it's sort of
I believe it. The reason I'm saying it because I know you're not going to say I took 7 years off in the later 90s, early 2000, went into a shame spiral, and I tried to fix it with cocaine. Like, I know you're not going to say that. Because I can't think of I'm looking down at like The Big Chill and Jurassic Park and stuff like that, The Fly from 86, for instance. I can't think of
a time off
in
I'm
that
lucky.
Period.
I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful.
It just,
I kept doing it. And it started out kind of miraculously. As soon as I never had another job, as soon as I got my first audition that I ever auditioned for, and even before that, somebody kind of asked me to be in a movie before I did anything about it. And so it kind of happened like that, miraculously. And small things, so I could learn as I went on. I studied with this guy, Sandy Meisner, who said it takes 20 years to be an actor anyway. So I was on a kind of, maybe it's my, that vision that he implanted in me somehow, that I was on a long,
trajectory
anyway, in order to just try to get better. And then once 20 years goes by, then it's a lifelong process of graduate work and still getting better.
And so, young hopefuls, this is how it works. You immediately get your first audition. You never stop working.
Well, I know.
Paul Newman brings you out. Right?
Yep.
How old were you when you got, Annie Hall? You must have been very young.
Annie Hall? Yeah, that was 75-ish. I was born in 52, so I'm 23. That's right. Yeah, I did the first movie in 73, right? It's Death Wish, 73.
Oh, Death Wish. Charles Bronson.
Charles
speaking
Bronson.
Speaking of The Simpsons, it just came back to me that Jeff was Troy McClure's agent.
Who
got him married to Patty and or Selma, whoever it was. But he's like, all the big stars are having kids now.
That's right. I was encouraging because he had a scandal with a fish. Yep. He'd done something sexual with a fish. And I said, this is good. Very good for you.
She's like, are you gay? He's like, no, I'm something else. He's like, there's like no sexual proclivity whatsoever.
Yeah. I forgot, or I was thinking about it, where he I don't know why. I always cite it when we were doing Crank Yankers. We had a lot of really funny calls, but Jeff was always my favorite premise, and he was great at it, which is he was the lawyer who represented all the people who Crank Yankers had called in season one, and they were getting a class action lawsuit together for season two. And the answer from everyone was, I'm not going to get burned again. And because I know this is a prank call. And then Jeff would say, there's a lot of money you're leaving on the table. And they'd kind of sit there for a minute. And he'd say, like, when the phone rings, you ever feel shortness of breath or palpitations? They go, sometimes, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, having trouble sleeping because of the Crank Yankers situation. And they were, now just give me a look like, I kind of remember this.
I think I remember the ones I did. Maybe you're mixing me up with.
Maybe I'm mixing you up with another lanky.
I think you are.
I could be.
What lanky goofball could you be?
I'm trying to think which ones you did.
Was Bowser from Sha-na-na ever on Crank Yankers? I often get mixed up with him.
No, believe me. If we'd had a real celebrity on that show, I would not forget that. Bowser. Ouch. I mean, if we had an A-lister on, I would not forget that. Yeah, we did Professor Fernstein and, Dad calling DJ for the daughter's party.
I remember those. Reminding me. I loved those. Those were fantastic. How come we're not doing those anymore?
I don't know. We should, I don't know. What's Kimmel doing? Just
loafing.
Just putting on weight on a sofa now?
Just chilling.
Cheese doodles.
Lives near me, and I run into him on my street. He drives past my garage, and sometimes when I'm coming out, I go, hey, and we talk on the street.
I talked to him about this. He says Goldblum's always parked in front of his house with his window rolled down, pretending that he doesn't want me to notice him, but clearly he's been sitting there for so long.
Craning his neck.
And the fact that he leans on the horn every 10 minutes suggests that he does want to be noticed. And then he asked me if we want to go to the Ivy and have brunch.
I'm so sad.
Off-putting.
And then it's weird because he goes, and then he goes, you ride on the hood. All right, let's bring it around with Simply Safe. Ah, man, you take precautions every day. You have a case for your phone, but what about identity theft protection, huh? How about it? How about Simply Safe, man? How about taking care? Oh, sorry, screwed that up. I thought I was done. So I'll just start from the top. Sorry.
It's Lynette Paradiso.
That's correct.
Natalia's your daughter, along with Santino, Sonny. Oh,
it's a good boy.
Any Corleone is a great name for it.
Yeah, that's what Lynette was thinking. She named him. All right, Jeff.
Which Corleone would I be if I was a Corleone?
Definitely not Fredo.
Not Fredo, no.
No, I see
I'm not like dumb, like I'm smart.
Would they have like a Moisha Corleone?
Okay, I get the idea. Very easy. Too easy. How about that Santino? Hey, but football, you were a football player.
Oh, look, someone.
I'm a Steelers.
Are you thinking I'm smart? Not like everybody says.
Like,
it isn't the
dumb.
Way I wanted it.
That's not the way I was passed over. you're not a brother to me. You're not a man.
Arroyo Seco weekend. Seco. That is Saturday, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You can see Jeff and his band playing.
Was that rain or applause?
On the Willow.
Both.
It's raining.
Sounds like it's raining.
It's an outdoor kick.
Willow stage. He will be. There's going to be a ton of great bands. It's going to be a great thing. And like, when you guys get drunk,
Tom Petty.
Walk up to Drew's house. He's right in there.
Tom Petty is going to be. Whose house is near there?
Dr. Drew. You're going to see him in a minute. ArroyoSecoWeekend.com. So, Jeff, where do we go to find out more about your band, where you're going to be playing, movies, anything we want to support you with?
So Rockwell is the place in Los Feliz where we play once a week, every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
So Google Rockwell or call Rockwell and find out if we're playing that Wednesday, and come on, tap me on the shoulder, and I'll see you there. The movies I've done that I have in the can are, of course, Jurassic World, Fallen
Kingdom.
Gee, I'll remember. I'll start to remember. Thor Ragnarok. I did that Thor movie. I did Isle of Dogs, which Wes Anderson did.
When's
that coming out? Another
Wes?
Yeah, sometime. Hotel Artemis. I'm shooting with Jodie Foster right now, and that's the story. Those are my plugs. But you played football. I'm a big Steelers fan, of course. I'm from Pittsburgh, and you renovated your childhood home. I have dreams like that. I dream that I'm back in the home.
Your dad's house. Yeah. Okay, I did. I filmed it, made a TV show.
That's fantastic. And then I was on Top Gear. in London, in England.
Did you
town.
Star in the reasonably priced car? Did you drive the cheap car?
You should see my episode. I won't give it away, but Tom Cruise was...
it's coming.
No. It's years ago.
It's the old Top Gear. It's not Grand Tour.
Yeah. They told... It was...
I'll find it.
You'll find it. And then...
it's got a buck slip with everything on it.
That's it. That's...
All right.
Okay, that's
it. I'll tell you guys...
You know nothing.
Here's a doc for you. The 24-Hour War. That's Ferrari versus Ford at Le Mans, the 60s.
I know another mockumentary that I'm in on HBO. It's coming out, that Tour de Pharmacy. You've seen signs all over the place for.
Oh, really? So that's coming out on HBO.
Yes, and I have a little part on that,
We'll look for that. There's Dr. Drew in the next room over there.
I can't believe it. It is in person.
No Safe Space is another movie I'm working on. You go to nosafespaces.com and watch the little snippets on there. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows and all the events and everywhere. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeff Goldblum, Vinny Tortorich, Gina Grandval, Brian Sayin. Mahalo. I got no interest in a thing that gathers pubes.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Come on out to the Showbox Soto Lounge in Seattle. We'll see you out there Saturday night for a live performance from Loxy. And I will be playing a couple songs acoustic as well. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. And leave us a voicemail if you like. The phone number is 888-634-1744. For everything, including the Carolla Cruise, this November, visit adamcarolla.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.